Welcome back, Donegal, with a 10-point victory today, 125 to 115 as they open their championship account and the defence of their title with what was a comfortable one. Former Donegal selector and championship winner with St Unions as player and manager, Brendan Kilcoyne joins us, and indeed Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life is here as well. Brendan, we're just talking there off air before we returned. Very much a routine display, is that the best way to describe it from Donegal today?
Yeah, very, very much convincing, particularly in the second half, Oisin. You know, there was that period in the first half where Derry were quite content and slowing the game down and in the game after 20 minutes. But then there was that golden period before half-time where Donegal scored 1-7 without reply, including two 2-pointers from Darrow Boyle, plus that brilliant goal he got. Derry, as we expected, came out strong in the second half, and a couple of 2-pointers from them, Brendan Rodgers, and, you know, they seemed to be back in the game. But then Donegal just went through the gears and absolutely demoralised Derry, so they did, with runners coming from deep. And I think once they got a score or two, they were able to pen Derry in. Derry weren't able to get their kickouts away, and 4 of that points in that golden spell came from directly from Derry kickouts, Oisin. So they just totally were superior in all areas of the field at that stage of the game. And of course, Patrick McBrady just decided that he was going to light the place up for a period of time during that. For 10 or 15 minutes he kicked some wonderful scores, and we saw the other subs coming in with scores too. To be fair with Derry, because they were chasing in the game, they were trying to kick 2-pointers outside the arc, and they kicked a lot of wides in the second half, I think maybe 7 or 8 wides. And, you know, maybe if they weren't chasing the game as much, they would have worked scores from that. But it was a lost cause, I think, for them at that stage, Oisin. So really convincing from Donegal all over the field, good performances, and with the been able to run the bench, get players in, get a bit of confidence in them too. We saw Oisin Farrell-Gallan getting a score late on. Jamie got a score late on. We saw Pather Mogan, Finbar Rorty attacking the left wing here, driving in on the end line and punching balls over the bar. So Jimmy Guinness will be a happy man tonight with that performance, but he knows there's a big task ahead now in 2 weeks' time, as you were discussing with Brendan,
yeah,
Oisin.
Yeah, so Jim will be happy. Don't think Paddy Talley will he, Michael?
Definitely not. There's 6 weeks of reflection, I suppose, before the All-Ireland series, but I have to admit, it's probably the way I felt the game would go, if I'm being totally honest. Like, 47% of Derry's scores during the league came from Conor Glass and Shane McGuigan. Conor didn't score, Shane didn't score from play, so even that in itself is a statistic. Like, you're chatting about 11 scores for Donegal, and I suppose the beauty of Donegal is they rarely give the ball away, and they always get a shot away, and probably a couple of Derry scores came from uncharacteristic Sean Patton's kickouts. I know at half time we spoke about maybe Mulroney coming in, so Derry got that wee foothold there, but it's a really disappointing performance from Derry. But it's probably just a summary of the year, yeah. You know, and probably typified by missing a penalty, and the rebound it all contributes into it. Like Brendan Rodgers, like all the question marks were, is he playing? How fit is he? He's down here. He's still posing for selfies. He's probably absolutely gutted inside, but he always, always delivers. Himself and Glass, like Glass was soldiering about there with a knee bandage. I think he carried an injury coming into the game as well. They always leave whatever's there on the grass. So over the next 6 weeks, they're going to have to find a way of getting regrouped for the qualifiers or the group stages. Yeah. That's all they're going to have to do. But they're going to have to try and find out what exactly they want out of the season, because they're not all Ireland contenders. They're out of the Ulster Championship, and they haven't won a game since the Westmeath game, aside from a penalty shootout. So
they're probably going in as obviously the lower seeds as well under the All-Ireland, which makes it even tougher again, because there's going to be sides above them that are going to be that could end up winning provincial championships and things. So it could prove difficult.
Very much so, because outside of probably, you've got a bit of Lachlan Murray, get a bit of game time, you know, play the game. Now Lachlan come in, so those boys are playing. So it's about how much they can get them ready for that 6 week times. Do they take in a couple of under 20s? Because I know Damien McAleen and Paddy Talley seem to have an arrangement where, you know, they didn't use any of them. Like Finbar Rorty, actually, maybe as a concern for the Donegal Monaghan game, he limped off there. So he's obviously caught in two stools there between the 20s. Derry haven't done that. So by the time that competition, you know, by the time Derry's interest in that competition is over, do they take in a couple? But again, they'll be untested. Yeah. So those guys are coming in and they'll be untested. So I can't see Derry getting anything out of the season, to be honest. And that's a really difficult thing to say as a Derry man, but I just can't.
Yeah.
And it leaves it that, you know, you're just hoping to see could you do like last year and maybe get to Croke Park and see? But there's a bit of soul searching. But the only thing I would say is the league, it's 7 games in 9 weeks. You only have a championship game against a formidable side that you're probably underdogs anyway. Now you can crawl away and rest, recover, maybe find a new plan or whatever to come back. That's all you can do. But it's going to be difficult to do that. Yeah. It really is. But, you know, you're probably looking at Brenton Rodgers maybe being the foothold of that.
There's no trajectory for Derry on the upward curve at the minute, but it's a different story for Donegal, Brendan.
Yeah, you know, expectation levels are there, and they've been there, I suppose, since Jim returned to the fold, Oisín, so they have. And, you know, there's a talented squad of players there. They've all the right components for football, so they have, in that they've man markers at the back, they can man mark. They've runners that can come from deep, and very athletic guys like Kieran Moore coming from deep. Oisín Gallen, even when he came on, using his pace, taking his man on and beating him. And a key to these new rules and the new football is that if you can beat your man, if you can beat the first man, you're creating overlaps. And again, Donegal are very good at that. Shane O'Donnell can come from deep carrying the ball. Darrow Boyle, we saw the damage that he could do coming from anywhere. So they've so many of them components. And just to, you know, there was so many positives for Donegal today, even to get game time into Jason McGee, get him out on the pitch. We hadn't seen him all year, kind of thing. He had a difficult year last year with injury. So getting game time into his legs, into Michael Murphy's legs, Oran McFadden Ferries, these guys that are coming back from injury and just trying to get their fitness levels up, is a huge positive for Jim. So listen, there's an awful lot of positives to take for Donegal. I suppose the big thing is to not get carried away with it, you know, to remain composed, and I'm sure with Jim and the management team that they'll look after all that from the point of view that they have to go up to Clonus. And yes, Monaghan were a Division 2 team, Brendan correctly pointed out, and they're only down for 1 year. They've a lot of talent, and they'll always make things difficult for Donegal, especially, you know, when it's not expected of them. So that's going to be a big test, and there'll be more tests then beyond that if Donegal were successful. You look at Tyrone, you look at Armagh, you look at these type of teams. So there's a long way to go. But all you can do today is go out and take on what's in front of you. And they did that admirably. They really went at the game. You know, it was a bit slow. There might have been a bit of nerves early on in the game, Oisín. But I thought the way they settled into the game. And they seemed to be able to get pockets of time during the game where they totally dominate the opposition. And it's all right doing that. But Donegal put it on the scoreboard in them periods of time today. So, yeah, a lot of positives. And move on to the next stage. We're still only in a Ulster quarter-final. Yeah. You know.
Okay. Listen, Brendan Kilcoyne and Michael McMahon, many thanks for joining us today. There's still a big crowd out on the pitch speaking with the Donegal players. A large number of them have stayed and are talking to the fans and the supporters. It's always a good occasion on Championship Day when you take a victory that you can speak to the young kids, because they're heroes to a lot of them young kids and people on the pitch there at the moment. There is a bit of media working on as well. Brendan Devaney is going to get some reaction. Hopefully we'll have some soon for you from the victorious Donegal camp, who ran out comfortable winners in the end against Derry. 125-115 again was the final score. It's a 10-point win. Donegal are on the march in Ulster. They've started the defence of their Anglo-Celt Cup with a successful day today. Monaghan are next on Easter Sunday. Thanks for listening in. Hopefully we'll get that reaction from both camps for you shortly. And it will, of course, be available online as well on highlandradio.com.